This devotional reading comes from J.C. Ryle, an Anglican pastor in the mid to late 1800s in England. It's entitled, The Most Important Subject. Reading the Bible, keeping the Sabbath, hearing sermons, and attending public worship, and going to the Lord's table, all these are very weighty matters, but none of them is as important as private prayer. Prayer is absolutely needful to a man's salvation. I say absolutely needful, and I say so advisedly. I am not speaking now of infants and idiots. I'm not settling the state of the heathen. I remember that where little is given, there little will be required. I speak especially of those who call themselves Christians in a land like our own. Of such, I say, no man or woman can expect to be saved who does not pray. I hold salvation by grace as strongly as anyone, and I would gladly offer a full and free pardon to the greatest sinner that ever lived. I would not hesitate to stand by his dying bed and say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and thy house." But that a man can have salvation without asking for it, I cannot see in the Bible. That a man will receive pardon of his sins who will not so much as lift his heart up inwardly and say, "Lord Jesus, give it to me," this I cannot find. I can find that nobody will be saved by his prayers, but I cannot find that without prayer anybody will be saved. Yes, we must pray on earth, or we shall never praise in heaven. We must go through the school of prayer, or we shall never be fit for the holiday of praise. In short, to be prayerless is to be without God, without Christ, without grace, without hope, and without heaven. It is to be on the road to hell. A habit of prayer, however, is one of the surest marks of a true Christian. All the children of God on earth are alike in this respect. From the moment there is any life and reality about their religion, they pray. Just as the first sign of life in an infant when born into the world is the act of breathing, so the first act of men and women when they are born again is praying. This is one of the common marks of all the elect of God. They cry day and night unto him. The Holy Spirit, who makes them new creatures, works in them the feeling of adoption and makes them cry, "Abba, Father." The Lord Jesus, when he quickens them, gives them a voice and a tongue and says to them, "Be dumb no more." God has no dumb children. It is as much a part of their new nature to pray as it is part of a child to cry. They see their need of mercy and grace. They feel their emptiness and weakness. They cannot do otherwise than they do. They pray. I find it mentioned as a characteristic of the godly that they call upon the Father. They call upon the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. And I find it recorded as a characteristic of the wicked that they call not upon the Lord. That's in 1 Peter 1:17, 1 Corinthians 1:2, and Psalm 14:4. I do not deny that a man may pray without heart and without sincerity. I don't pretend for a moment to say that the mere fact of a person praying proves anything about his soul. As in every other part of religion, so also in this, there is plenty of deception and hypocrisy. But this I do say, that not praying is a clear proof that a man is not yet a true Christian. He may boast confidently of election and grace and faith and hope and knowledge and deceive ignorant people, but you may rest secured. It is all vain talk if he does not pray. I say furthermore that of all the evidences of real work of the Spirit, a habit of hearty private prayer is one of the most satisfactory that can be named. A man may preach from false motives. A man may write books, make fine speeches, seem diligent in good works, and yet be a Judas Iscariot. But a man seldom goes into his closet and pours out his soul before God in secret unless he is in earnest. The Lord himself has set his stamp on prayer as the best proof of a true conversion. When he sent Ananias to Saul in Damascus, he gave him no other evidence of Saul's change of heart than this, "Behold, he is praying." The first act of faith will be to speak to God. Faith is to the soul what life is to the body. Prayer is to faith what breath is to life. How a man can live and not breathe is past my comprehension, and how a man can believe and not pray is past my comprehension, too.